chapter 12, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. And if you are not there, look intelligently at the page that you are on. We are going to begin reading. We are going to go down to verse 27. Amen. All right. Chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18, but now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. In verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We are going to preach today, the title of this sermon is A Healthy Body. A healthy body. The human body is a masterpiece of engineering and creation. If you ever stop to look at it. You know, one time I had a buddy, I haven't kept up with him since, but I knew at the time he was going to physical trainer school. And he at one point had described to me all of the mechanics that go simply into having your bicep curl like that. There were at least 20 things, and I honestly stopped paying attention, and it intimidated me. How many things really go on in this body on a second-per-second basis? And if we knew all of them, the way that the doctors claim that they know all of them, we would be intimidated beyond belief, and we would be mystified by how much goes into this thing to make it work, to make it grow, to make it strong. It is a marvel of engineering. We have millions of systems that function in sync with each other every single day. Do you realize that? Do you realize everything that has to go right to make this body of ours run on a day-to-day basis for as long as it does, 70, 80, 90 years sometimes? When we think about the body, the basis of everything is the individual cell, right? The basis of the body is the cell. Well, the cell has two things. The cell has DNA, the cell has RNA. Here's the cell, what does the DNA do? The DNA is called the code of life. What does the RNA do? The RNA is what deciphers the code of life to that cell, to give it structure and context to what it is supposed to do. That is the function of those two things. Why do I say that? Well, on a little side tangent here in my introduction, DNA, RNA. If you are saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Amen? Is that something to shout about on a Wednesday night? Amen? Are we too tired for that? Can we shout amen about our salvation? Thank you. I'm hearing some whimpering out there. I know we're tired. Let's wake up. Let's get excited. We're preaching. This isn't a Bible study. This is preaching hour. That's how I'm treating this. So, when we think about that, we have the DNA, the Word of God, our code of life that allows us to operate, but we also have the RNA, the Holy Spirit, the thing that discerns our code for us. If we'd only read it, if we'd only learn it, we have a discerner. It's not too hard to read. It's not too hard to study. You just don't do it enough, amen. I'm going to get off that side tangent because that's not what I'm preaching about. But when everything is working and functioning, we know it. Anyone ever play sports in this room? We know. Anyone ever in the military where they starve you and make you run 5 miles? We know that. We know how that feels. When you're kind of warmed up and you're just a little bit sweaty and you're stretched and you're loose and you're just ready to do whatever sport that it was, whether it's running, wrestling, basketball. We know when things are operating right in our body. We can feel it. We have those sensory nerves that allow us to feel these things. Likewise, when there's one thing wrong, we know that too. Amen. When I have what I call a bum hip. Here's what this hip does not do that it is supposed to do. When I run, your hips are supposed to do this as you run. Well, my left hip just kind of does one of these. It doesn't do a full rotation. As a result, it strains other muscles in my hip that make it hard to run. And you know what I noticed about that? It doesn't matter how good my right hip feels that morning, does it? If it doesn't feel good, I'm not running. Amen. So why do I say that? I'll come to that point in a minute. You just hold on to that. So Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church here, likens the church of God to a body. Why does he do that? Well, you got to think about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, when you look at them in context, the book of Corinthians, if you didn't know this, was a letter penned to them. Now, this church was two things. This church was worldly. This church was three things. Worldly, talented, full of money. Three things. If you remember nothing else about why Paul penned a letter to them, that's what it was. Worldly, talented, full of money. They had every aptitude, every ability to do the work of God, but instead of doing that, they squandered it on things that would allow them to look good, to feel good, to do good. I say that in air quotations if anyone ever listens to this on sermon audio. So, the point of this letter to the Corinthian church was basically to rebuke them of all of these things that they got caught up in. Pride, lasciviousness, misappropriation. All of the things that got this church into trouble. The one thing that we're going to deal with here is church unity. We're going to deal with church unity tonight. So my proposition question for you today is, what does a healthy body of believers look like? What does a healthy body of believers look like? So we're going to go into that right now. And I have 3 points for you. They all start with the same letter, like every good Baptist sermon should. I've tried so hard. I was sitting there with a thesaurus trying to find out which words would work. And I found 3 D words. So we're going to be able to use all 3 of those tonight in this sermon. Bless God. So point one, what does a healthy body look like? The first thing a healthy body looks like is this. A healthy body is a diverse body. A healthy body is a diverse body. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. We're going to read down to verse 20 again. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is many. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The human body, my friends, if you didn't know, is not just a pile of hands. It's not just a bucket of eyeballs. The human body is diverse. Amen? The human body is diverse. I hear you all back there. I don't know what you're saying. Are you joking about me? Okay. All right. Thank you, John. Good input. Thank you. So we have to look at this thing. The human body is diverse. The human body is made up of many different parts doing many different functions. And the reason Paul writes this letter in this context to these people is that everybody wanted to be the hand, nobody wanted to be the foot. Everybody wanted to do the work that was interesting and creative and fun and gave glory to themselves and gratify themselves. Nobody wanted to be the feet to take the hands to the work. Nobody wanted to do the work that wrapped them up in a sweaty sock and a hot shoe. Amen? Nobody wanted to seem to do that work. That's why Paul tells them. What verse is that? Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I've got news for you guys, and I'm going to make the application here in a minute. If your feet aren't going to carry you to where you need to go, what good are your hands? Amen? What is the application to this? I'm up here preaching. That is my gifting. I'm thankful to God every day for giving me that gifting. I'm thankful to Him that He allows me to do this. But I tell you what, if I wouldn't be willing to go clean that toilet, I am useless up here. And if you believe anything differently than that, I would say that you believe differently than this scripture right here. What else does that mean? If you're not willing to come in and vacuum, why would I, you know, for me, for what I'm doing, if I see that you're not willing to go vacuum the carpet because you're too busy, how do you have time to prepare a solo? Right? We want to do the thing, and I'm not necessarily applying it to this church yet, but we want to do the things that are fun. The Corinthian church wanted to do the things that were fun to honor themselves, to glorify themselves, that made them look good. But they didn't want to do the things that ultimately furthered the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the whole reason that the church exists. Someone say amen. You're allowed to be excited. This is preaching hour. You don't have to be quiet. Okay, so we are a diverse body. We need to seek what gifting we have. I have news for you, church. We are Baptists. We believe in the complete autonomy of the church body, correct? We believe that. We don't believe in a hierarchy, correct? You know what that means? That emphasizes this fact. If God sent you to this body, He sent you to this body. He sent you to this body for a specific purpose. You are a part of this body. Not this body, this body. You are a part of this body. For anyone listening, Don said, and I quote, "Thank you, I was worried." And he is fist bumping in the back. Okay, moving on. So, I love it here. I love how comfortable you guys make me feel. So, here is what that means. Okay, so here is what that means. You have a leg. What if you just woke up one day and your leg just shut off, just stopped working? Silly. It would almost be better if I didn't have it, right? If I at least had some kind of a crutch instead of the leg, because the leg is just dead weight at that point, right? Brothers and sisters, I don't mean to step on toes, but if you are here not serving in some ministry, you are that dead leg. If you are not here serving, that is what you are. You are a dead leg to this church. If you are not in some kind of ministry, if you are not, let's name a few, helping on the bus, if you are not going soul winning, if you are not tithing, if you are not doing any one of these things that further the gospel of Jesus Christ in this autonomous group of believers, you are a dead leg onto this ministry. Now, I don't say that to shame you. I say that to tell you that there is hope. You can go to the pastor whenever he gets back. You can go to Brother Choma at the end of this service and ask, "Brother Choma, what can I do?" And we can find something for you. Let me encourage you. It's okay to ask. Because I promise you, when you do, you will be thrown into a whirlwind of tasks that we need accomplished in this church. Amen? It is okay to ask to do work in this church. And it's okay not to be paid for it, because we do this work for Christ. We work all day to earn the money that it takes to serve Christ. You might think that's extreme. I call that Christianity of the Bible. So, note, our problem is that we all want to be the hand, but nobody wants to be the feet. It's not about what we want. You know, Pastor said this is one of my favorite things, unlike a lot of, you know, ways to handle this objection in my life. If you're asking, why do I have to do that? Why me? Why I? You're making it about you, and it's not about you. It's about Christ. And we cannot forget that. We should not forget that. We are here to serve a living God. That is who we are here to serve. So, point number one. A healthy body is a diverse body. Diverse body. Do you know if you are here, you have a specific gifting that God needed you to express in this house? Do you know that? Maybe it's not singing. Maybe it's not preaching, but maybe you're really good with kids and you're just so shy you don't want to talk about it. Maybe you were really good at organizational things. Can I tell you, I am awful at organization. If I didn't have my wife, y'all probably wouldn't even have me up here, because she makes me look a lot smarter than I actually am. She makes us look a lot more together than I actually am. I am not good at organization. But you know what? I guarantee someone in here is who isn't serving. And if you don't know what to do, if you say, I don't know what I'm good at. You know what two things you can be good at? You can be good at soul winning. And you can be good at tithing. You can be good at those two things. Everyone can be good at those two things. If you don't know who to go with, Brother Paul Becker is sitting right there, ladies and gentlemen. He would go every day if he had the time. I am a testimony of that. I've never called that man and had him say no. I've called him and had him say, well, that's your schedule. And guess what? You can even be the silent partner if you're uncomfortable talking to people. There are people in this church who will go soul winning with you, who will encourage you to do this work, who will help you, who will move you along, who will put you to the next step of your walk. These people are in this body. Step out. Talk to one of them. Be one of the diverse members in this body to help us move forward to serving Christ. Amen? Okay, point number one. We have to be diverse. You have to help with that diversity with your specific gifting. Point number two. Each member depends on each other. So point number one, a healthy body is diverse. Point number two, each member depends on the others. Go with me to verse 21, chapter 12. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So point number two, each member depends on the others. Each member of the body has to work in the context of the rest of the body, amen? I have nerve endings that go from my brain through my arm, through my forearm, through my hand, and to my fingers. I have functions that have to go on in my fingers that have to pass through the context of my arm. Amen? Does that make sense to everybody? I'm getting some blank stares. So, each member of the body has to work in the context of the body that they are in. I relate that to, again, church autonomy. Everybody's different. I know that my role in this church is significantly different than my role in my previous church. Because my fit in that context was different. Because that church has had different strengths, different weaknesses, different things going on. That didn't mean I wasn't using my specific gifting. That meant it was used maybe in a different way because that's a different body of believers. Amen? So you have to be able to learn how to fit your specific gifting into the context of this body. What does that look like? Well, it looks like being kind of flexible. You know, there's a phrase out there called rigid flexibility. It's a military term. It means that, essentially, be rigidly flexible. Know what you're good at, do what you're good at, but be flexible in the way that you go about it. That's what I think we need to be doing in our body. So number two, each member of the body is important to the overall health and well-being of the body. See, like I was telling you earlier with my hip, can I tell you guys something? Like I said earlier, thanks, John. This hip goes bad. This hip picks up the extra slack for this hip going bad. What happens to this hip over time if this one just stops working, this hip gets worn down as well, right? Why? Overuse. This goes back to a service-oriented thought process here. If you're the bad hip, you're overworking the good hip. Do you know that? If you are the person that's not serving, that maybe has a call from God to do that specific work, you are not doing that work, and as a result, you are overworking the other members of the body to pick up your slack. See, now, and Brother James Cleveland brought this up to me, and I wholeheartedly agree with him. This is not a negative by any means. But we are a upper, small-sized church that has mid-sized church ministries, which spreads our people kind of thin. I think that's a fair statement. And I don't think that's a negative, because we're all serving the Lord. I think I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to be spread thin for the Lord. We get our rest when we need it, amen? But if you are not serving, if you're not helping out, you're spreading people thinner and thinner and thinner. Many hands make light work. So, each member of the body is important to the overall health. Just because you have what may seem to be a grunt job in the body does not mean that your work is without value, which I think really is the point of that text. In 1 Corinthians 12:23, it says, the less honorable members are deserving of the highest honor. Do you know why that is? Because the less honorable members don't get praise of men, they get praise from God. Like Pastor says, there are people who come into this church every week and clean this church for free. We don't pay some kind of a outfit to come in here and clean this place once a week. No, people, members of this body, come in here and clean this church every week. And some of y'all wouldn't know that until they didn't do it. Then all of a sudden, it's a priority to get the church clean. Amen? That is a grunt job. That's not a fun job. This doesn't look like a whole lot of carpet, but if you're by yourself, this will take you hours to do by yourself. This is a long, tedious process to clean this place up. And that seems like a grunt job. But the Bible says, if you do that kind of work in this church, here's some encouragement for you. The Bible says that you are doing the more honorable work. Do you know that? If you are doing that grunt work, you are doing the more honorable work. Because if you're doing that grunt work, we know you're not doing it for the honor. You're doing that work because you love Jesus. That's why you're doing that work. So each member of the body has to work in context. Each member of the body is important to the overall health. And another note on this, don't get discouraged. If you're one of the people doing that grunt job, don't get discouraged by people who don't have that gifting or don't have that job, and they're the ones that are preaching, teaching, doing music, doing the things that people get to see. Don't be discouraged by those people. I like the illustration of a hand. You see the hand, if you had to go with one digit of this hand and the rest were going to be chopped off, which one would you most likely go with? I know for me, I would keep the thumb. It has its own muscle. It's got the most dexterity. It is the strongest. It is the most able out of any of the digits. But let me ask you this. Next time you're home, try this. Take a flat table, put a pen there, bind these fingers, try to pick that pen up with just this thumb, see what you get. See how silly you look. Because can I tell you something? You have a pen. And it's a progression. You hold the pen with the thumb, you can write like a 4-year-old. You have the index finger, significantly less strong, significantly less able and gifted. Well, look at that. All of a sudden I can write my name like a 7th grader. You have the middle finger, much less dexterity. But look at that. Now I have 3 fingers. I'm coming at it from all sides. Now I can write sentences. Then you have the ring finger, which looks to be unimportant, looks to be useless in this whole thing. But if you're writing for an extended period of time, do you know that ring finger is there to support your middle finger, supporting your index finger, while your thumb is bearing the load? Now all of a sudden I'm writing paragraphs. Total team effort. The greatest member was the thumb, but you were writing like a child by yourself. You need the support of the weaker members in the body to get done the ultimate goal, and your pride cannot get in the way of that. Amen? Your pride will kill this church. My pride will kill this church. Amen? If you are one of the greater members in this church and you have any kind of a pride problem, can I tell you something? In love, get out of your position. Let God put somebody in there who will do that position properly. And I say that knowing I don't think we have a problem with this church. I think we have very humble leadership in this church. But I do say, to make the point, there is no place for that pride in that position. Because in a lot of situations, just based on the fact that you are seen a lot, you become the face of this church. Me up here in this time slot that I have, if some new guy came up here, let me tell you something. I become the face of this church for that time frame. My first time I was here, I didn't even know who Dennis White was. I heard him preach online. Thought, wow, that's really good doctrine. How did I not know these people before? We have to stop by. But he was doing this trip that he's on this year, and we heard Brother Kelly preach. Now, Brother Kelly was in a position where he was the leader of this church in my mind. And he was in a very particular situation where Okay, he's the associate pastor. Good. I want to hear what he has to say. And he preached, and I tell you guys, when my wife and I left, I said, wow, that's what the assistant's doing? He's coming at us with that? Man, I can't wait for the pastor. Amen? And it became a blessing. He turned into something that made me more excited about the pastor. You should not be something that makes someone less excited about the pastor. Amen? I should not be something that makes a new person less excited about the pastor of the church. Nobody should. No man is an island. We are a team. We need to be able to depend on each other. Which leads me into my third point. Each member is devoted to the others. So point number one, we are what?
Diverse.
All right, we're paying attention. Point number two, we are what? Dependent. Good. Point number three, we are devoted to the others in this church, family. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. I'm trying to make this expository. As a result, there's not a whole lot of flipping around. I'm sure you're okay with that, amen? Okay, thank you. Okay, verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. A healthy church body, friends, is one that has members that are devoted and close to one another. The members of the church body should be close enough that when one member suffers, all members suffer. Here's a health check for you. Is most of the church news coming to you via the pulpit? Is that where most of the church news is coming to you? When there's a health ailment, do you hear it from the pastor on a Sunday morning, and that's mostly how you get that information? Because if it is, I believe we are in sin as a church body. You know what that tells me? That tells me, instead of being this, we are this. Because we have to remember what we are. And this is, again, pastor phrase, this is old hat to you guys. This is old hat to every Christian. These are not just four walls. A church is not just four walls. A church is a body. Then why are we not connected with people outside of these four walls? Why is this not happening? Why are we not connected? In church, I'm not screaming at you. I'm just as guilty as anybody. Amen? I'm a chief sinner preaching to other sinners. I'm not coming at you with any kind of a high horse. I'm elevated out of pulpit so y'all can see and hear me. But I'm not coming to you, coming down on you about it. I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else. And I will tell you that if we have space in our church, we have gaps. Do you not realize that is room for Satan to work in the lives of the people in this body? That is room for Satan to work. That is exactly what he wants. He covets that. He loves that. Because if there is space between Brother Kelly and I, something could happen. Satan could be dealing with me in a specific way that is negative, and I could fall into that. And if we are separated and we are not connected with each other, he would have no way of knowing until it was too late. But if we are like this, he's going to catch that immediately. He's going to know something's going on with me that's wrong, and he can hold me accountable to that. See, when we are close knit, when we are devoted to each other, when we are so close to each other as a family that we feel like family, do we feel like family in this house tonight? You feel like taking your shoes off when you walk because you don't want to get the carpet dirty. That's how we should feel. Don't nobody do that, please. Please don't do that. The members of the church body should be close enough to feel when things are going wrong. Likewise, when one member is honored, we should all be able to rejoice. It is an even-handed approach. If somebody gets a promotion in this house and I hear about it up here, or if I hear about it through some other avenue, I get that there's a lot of people and that happens sometimes. But the generality of things should be that we are close enough, I know that information already. And not through a line of gossip, but because I should have talked to that person and they should have opened that up to me and said, oh, hey, a great thing happened this week. I got a promotion. Bless God, brother. Thank you. You can tithe more. Just kidding, but I'm not kidding about that. So, When something good happens, we can rejoice for that person. And you know what? When something good happens and they come walking in cheerful, we should know that. We should be able to tell that, detect that, because we know them so well. These are things that matter. The closeness of this body is what matters. That is what... We want growth? Do we want growth? Do we want good, biblical growth in this church? Well, there's nothing we can do to guarantee people walk into this door. That's God's work, amen. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and we can take no credit for that. But I tell you what, we can do some things that will make it where people never darken the door of this church ever again. We have that power. We can make it where people hate coming here. What is the biggest way we can do that? Well, we are separated from each other. Because when we're separated from each other, that creates an avenue of what? Gossip. Because you know what we like to do as human beings? We like to fill gaps as human beings. Amen? If there's something we don't know about somebody, we like to fill that with theories. And they're usually not nearly as nice as what the reality is, but we have to fill it with something because we're human. We don't like having that gap there. We don't like not knowing something about somebody. So we fill that with gaps. And you know what? When people walk into that church, they feel that. And they feel that dissension going on. And they won't say that because they don't know, but they'll walk out going, there's a weird feeling about that church. I don't know, there's just something not right about that. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something amiss in that church. And I don't know what it is, but I don't think we're supposed to be here. And people will leave. We have the power to do that to people. Do you understand? We have that power. Or, on this side of the pulpit, we have the power to be such a loving family that we can actually make being saved look like a good thing. You know, it's a good thing to be saved, amen? You know, it's a good thing to have a good testimony, amen? You know, it's a good thing to come in here and feel like you're with your brothers and your sisters at Thanksgiving, amen? We can do that in this house. We have that potential. And you know what else? I feel like I've been contradicting myself all night. We can do that outside of this house. We should do that outside of this house. There was a harvest party we were about to have, and it got canceled. And I'm glad that things like that get canceled the morning of, because that shows that people were really dedicated to letting it go on. I know some people get mad about that, about the food, and I understand that. But I like that people are, oh, let's just wait this out for the last minute. And then they cancel at the absolute last minute because they want it to happen. They want to have that fellowship. That's a sign of that, and I'm thankful for that, by the way. But when we have stuff like the harvest party at somebody's home, at their house, that's unheard of in some churches. And we do that, and I love that. But brothers and sisters, we do not need a harvest party to fellowship together. We do not need this building. If the Lord took this building away from us, we can meet in a house. We can meet outside. Amen? We can meet in a barn. We can meet in somebody's garage. So having a tight-knitted church body offers a couple of benefits. One of them I've already named. It offers transparent, tight accountability to encourage holiness. If you think holiness in a church doesn't matter, I will direct you to Acts chapter 5, where a man was presented to the church and killed by God instantly for what? Lying. God prioritizes holiness in His house. A lot of people think that this place is a Holy Ghost hospital, and to an extent that's true, but He wants His body clean. Amen? Does that mean He doesn't want sinners? No. We're all sinners. Thank you, buddy. Proud of you. You do really good in church, in Transformers, by the way. He does. And you know what? We are a body. A body needs to be clean, flushed out of impurities to run the best. And if we're tight, we could push that sin right out. It's got no room to fester. If we're all really close, we could feel it immediately and squash it. You know, I know of a church who, for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, probably 40, 50 years, they didn't have a pastor that lived in the same state as the church. They had really good deacons for a long time, and that kind of kept them spiritually above water, but over time, those deacons started to die off, and what you had was a church body that was completely disassembled, not close to each other. As a result, sin started to fester, amen? Sin started to get in the way of everything. And there was no leader to squash it. There was nobody to rally the troops to get them tight together. And because there was gap, there was separation, brother to brother, sister to sister, brother to sister, it created sin problems in that church. Well, the end of that story is that church is significantly less in size. They don't have a Wednesday night service. They don't have a Sunday night service. That's because this turned into this. Being devoted to our other brothers and sisters is crucial. It keeps a holy body. It keeps this body tight, holy, clean. We need that to function. Number two, it demonstrates Christian love to those without. Like I was saying earlier, if somebody walks in that door and they feel anything other than love, we're not doing our jobs. If we're going out in the van soul winning and everyone's kind of coming out of the van arguing with each other, who's using the step stool and who gets to sit where, and then you walk 8 feet to the guy's house, he knows you're fake. He does. That guy's not going to listen to you. That guy wouldn't listen to me in that position. He wouldn't listen to anybody. Why would he? You're fake. You don't have a true testimony. If you did, you wouldn't be acting in such a way. But if we're all gracious and loving each other and having a great time out there when we're soul winning, galvanized, man. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing for them to see. We need to get back to that. We need to get better at that as a church body. So number two, it demonstrates Christian love to those without. And number three, it provides a strong support system for newer or lesser, I don't want to say intelligent, lesser read individuals, people who haven't read as much. Amen? You have created, with this tight-knit group, a support system. You have created something that they feel comfortable entering into. I wasn't there. It's hypothetical to me. In the 70s, with the soul-winning movements, the Baptist movement was really bad at get them saved and just let them do whatever they wanted. I've seen churches that operate that way. There's no safety net. There's no anything to help these people get to where they need to be, to the next level. We can provide that. In part, you know what would make us really good at doing that? If we have tightness with each other, and they can see that. They know that when they enter the doors of this church, or when a faithful soul winner knocks on their door, and they eventually come here for the first time, and they're scared and they're intimidated, and they've spent years away from God, and they don't know you, and they're skeptical about you because they were raised in a church where that church wasn't doing the right stuff, and they're completely turned off, that they can come into this house, and they can know that they know that they know that, I don't know what's going on here, but these people love me. These people care about me, and I don't even know why. They don't even know me. And they love each other. How? I'll tell you how. Christian love. The love that God provides for us. I've heard it said, love isn't a choice, it's a fruit of the Spirit. You can't choose it. But you ask God for it, and He gives it to you in abundance, because it is a fruit of the Spirit. All you have to do is ask for it. It's like wisdom. I don't ask for wisdom enough. I don't ask for love enough. But if we ask for them, He'll give them to us. We can have that godly love to galvanize us together, to see the people out there, to give a testimony to those people out there, and not be a stumbling block under their salvation. We can be that church. So in conclusion, I want to ask you, in a more pointed sense, is this body the three things that we spoke about? And this is a question we can answer collectively as a body, or this is a question you can ask yourself about our church. Is this body diverse? Is everybody who's working in this church, and I'm speaking to you, individual, I'm speaking to you, person who's not serving, have you found your spot? Have you fasted and prayed and asked God for a spot if you haven't found the spot? If you have found your spot, do the work that requires that spot. You have to do the work. Number two. Like I just said. Do the work that
actually show up and do work on a consistent level. It matters.
We have to do that. It matters, the work that we do. You have to come in here and you have to be dependent on. We have to be able to look at you and know that you're going to show up and that you're not going to call in sick 3/4 of the time. And number three, you have to develop... have we developed a closeness and sensitivity to other members of this body? Have we done that as a church? So number one, find your purpose. Number two, do your purpose. Number three, develop a closeness and sensitivity to others here who are doing that purpose as well.